Good morning. Today is Monday, December 12th, 2022. Well, here in part three of More to Consider on Prayer, Erotao, E-R-O-T-A-O, it's Strong's 2065. That will be our Greek word for today. The King James Version translates it, ask, beseech, pray, desire, and entreat. The Strong's definition has it, to interrogate, to request, ask, beseech, desire, entreat, pray. You know, it's in the sense of making a request as a favor. It could be a request for oneself, or it could be one on behalf of another. This is, this erotao, it's the same word that we read about in Acts 3, where the lame man asked alms of Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful. Although erotao occurs around 60 times in the New Testament, its meaning in each usage is determined by the scriptural context and also the Greek inflections. And Greek inflections are plenteous in that language. And those inflections, they add their own unique flavor to the definitions. So we're just going to work over a few places where it's used today. But, you know, in our study, it's not about Greek inflections. It's not about Greek words. I continue to repeat this to make sure we hold that fast. But in our study on these few words for prayer and pray, we are simply gathering. We're gathering aspects of prayer and praying to elevate our level of awareness concerning those intimate times in conversation with our Father. We're looking for insight to mindfully expand our communications in a variety of ways. For example, with the word erotao, where believing ones are doing the asking, there's an element of searching when they're asking for something. And that was the case with Jesus and his disciples. The disciples were always asking their master to explain something or to teach them. They wanted to know. They wanted to learn. And really, most of all, it was apparent that they wanted to do the word the way that their master did the word. They became his disciples. They followed him. They believed God sent him. And in John chapter 17 is a 26-verse communication of Jesus with his Father. And erotao occurs four times in this chapter. So we'll look at some of those verses to see more about this word and how it was used by Jesus. Starting in verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So this chapter opens with Jesus acknowledging that the hour for his sacrifice for all who would believe, it was at hand. This is the context for what follows as he communes with his Father. In this final hour, you would think he would be thinking about himself, preparing his mind to go through what he did know at that time. But no, his thoughts were on those who believed God sent him. This entire chapter really is about folks like us. In verse 4, he accounts for his time upon the earth. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have manifested thy name, in verse 6, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So here in verse 9, we'll read two occurrences of erotao. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus prayed for those who received the words of, that God gave him to give them. You know, those he prayed for had believed that Jesus was sent by God. They believed that the words Jesus spoke were from God. And Jesus said he didn't pray for the world. Now, he wasn't being hateful. It was a delicate and tender expression that Jesus had as he talked to God and asked and began to ask God on behalf of the ones who had discipled themselves to the words God gave them to speak. He says in verse 10, All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. See how tenderly he comes to the Father, and he's coming erotao. He's coming on behalf of the disciples. He is going to lovingly, tenderly, delicately petition the Father. Verse 12, when I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the word hath hated them. The world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray, erotao, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So this erotao, on their behalf, Jesus is coming tenderly, laying his heart out to the Father and beseeching him to keep them from evil, even though they are yet in the world. In verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And here we go. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And verse 20 is so complete. Neither pray, erotao, I for these alone. I don't make these requests just on behalf of these disciples. I'm making this request also for them which shall believe on me through their word. What an inclusive prayer. Here's this delicate and tender request where Jesus is coming to his Father. But it's not only for those Jesus taught, led along their way, but it's for all who would believe on him through their witness. And ultimately, guess what? That includes us. And his prayer was not just for salvation, but his prayer was really for them coming to a knowledge of the truth, to be sanctified, to be set apart by that truth, to the end that all those who believe on Christ would be according to his next request in verse 21, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And of course, present day, we know and believe that God is in Christ, and that Christ is in us. You know, we have the privilege to be one with God in Christ, if we so desire. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus' heart's desire was for those he served, those he fed, those he shepherded, those who believed God had sent him to be the Savior of the world. His heart's desire wasn't on, boy, I hope it doesn't hurt too much. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, it is just so tender. It is so beautiful. And then, you know, Jesus said back in John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. Well, you would say, well, why are they one? And the answer is because Jesus surrendered his own will to the will of his Father. Because Christ sought to do God's will above his own, his obedience to the will of God brought him into that oneness with his Father. Jesus agreed with God on everything. They didn't talk it over, hash it out, reach a compromise, negotiate, the word for today. It wasn't ever a negotiation. Jesus gave his all in service to the will of God. And then in John 5:20, Jesus said, this is great, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He didn't judge things through his personal preferences in life. He really didn't have any because he had made all of his preferences. He had lined everything up with God's will. You know, so we approach our study as ones surrendering our own wills to live the will of the Father. We don't argue with the truth. Rather, we bring our will, our appetites in life, our personal preferences, we bring all those into agreement with the nature of God and what he has laid out in his word, that word that is profitable for believers, the things he has told us in the way of commandments that is godly, that is a way to live righteously. We bring all those into agreement with God. That does not make us robotic, as the world would have us believe. Not at all. We are the lights in this dark world. We shine the light of God. And it all happens dynamically because of our own individual personalities, our own individual long suits in the body of Christ. And those are things that God has blessed us with. You know, we can never forget that the scriptures teach he created the gift of Holy Spirit within each one of us. Each one of us has his creation within us. So it wasn't a rubber stamp. It's a creation. We are not all alike, and we shouldn't try to be all alike. The thing we should do is come into that form of godliness that is the will of God. You know, since the day of Pentecost, it is Christ within those who believe, making all who believe the what? The children of God. Then, as we take unto ourselves the will of the Father, we put ourselves at one with Him. He doesn't grab us by the nape of the neck. It's our willful desire, our willful choice. We become of one accord, of one opinion with the will of God. And as we worked in the last teaching, that is when we are able to ask according to His will. Ask anything. Remember we read 1 John 5, those verses 14, 15, 16 in the last teaching? And that's when we're able to ask anything according to His will. And He hears us and we have our request. You know, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. We're sanctified through the truth of God. And Ephesians 5 tells us about walk in love, walk in light, walk circumspectly. And that's all presented in Ephesians chapter 5, where we're taught to be imitators of God. That's not robotic. It's not robotic at all. But it is divinely out of this world lifestyle, for sure. In John 16 is another section where, section of verses where erotao and aiteo appear. And we'll look at those in light of the context of this chapter we just read. Because remember, Jesus acknowledges His hour was approaching. His hour is come. And in verse 23 of chapter 16, which is just before 17, it says, and in that day, he's talking to his disciples, and in that day ye shall erotao me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall aiteo the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, let's look at this a little carefully. And in that day, well, what day? This is vital information. What day is he talking about? Well, again, we know from chapter 17, his hour was already close when he was talking to them in chapter 16. And at the close of chapter 15, Jesus spoke to the disciples about a day when the Comforter would come to be with them, to lead them. And that was also future. Well, in that future day, they would no longer question Jesus about anything because Jesus would no longer be with them in the flesh. The apostles were close to the Master. They revered His every word. I mean, sometimes it's funny to read in the Gospels about their little musings and internal conversations when maybe the Master had stepped aside. But, you know, they were growing and developing spiritually. And at times their spiritual immaturity was quite evident. But nonetheless, these were people God had given Jesus. These are people who responded to the Word. And, you know, they would ask the Master in private about things they didn't understand. And He would forbear. He would do however He needed to do with them. But this is all wrapped up in the word erotao. And going forward, things are going to change. You know, He's not going to be there with them. He's going to have new responsibilities. So he says, going forward, you will ask, aiteo, you'll make withdrawals on the promises of God, but you'll do it in my name. You won't ask me, but you'll do it in my name. Verse 24, hitherto, or up until now, have you asked, aiteo, nothing in my name? So now he says, ask, aiteo, and you shall receive that your joy may be full. So to this point in time, the disciples, they had no clue about asking anything in Jesus' name. That was unknown to them. They had just always, you know, here's the master, let's ask him. They asked him directly. They didn't know about aiteo in the sense of asking God directly in Jesus' name. So with Jesus seated at the right hand of God, the gift outpoured, they would no longer beseech or converse with Jesus for their needs, and especially for understanding, because now they'll have the Holy Spirit. They'll have the Comforter that would be in them, and this Comforter would lead them into the all truth. See how lovely that is? With the gift of Holy Spirit came promises of God, and as his children, contrary to petitioning and beseeching Jesus for understanding and for every need they had, now they would just go directly to the Father. They would make that spiritual demand in the name of Jesus Christ for those things promised by God. And really, that's where we are today. Today, we have God in Christ in us, the gift of Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And we ask anything in his name. God hears us. Can we still erotao with God? You know, can we have this, can we come to him and pour out our hearts? There's nothing in the word to forbid it when we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the point here. Filling our conversations with God with such tenderness and pouring out our hearts on behalf of others, it has to certainly be a close cousin to making intercession. That we pray, that we think of others in our beseechings. And at our next time together, we're through working the individual words. There are other words for prayer, for pray. But you know, again, we're skimming the cream off the top just to expand our thoughts on prayer so that we can expand our prayer life and our time with God, take it up a notch. So our next time together, we'll summarize these words that we have looked at over the weeks, and we'll kind of pull together the takeaways that will enrich our prayer life with our Father. So God bless you.